It's a good morning for a victory. Yeah? I've been taking a lot of shots. I've been taking shots all year long. Big shots, haymakers. I'm going to take a few shots today, and I'm fired up to be in this place of victory and to be back with you. It's always a great honor to share the word with you, and always just I feel like I'm home when I'm here, and I want to thank you for all of your care for us. I was thinking about my worst moment this year, and there's been a bunch, but there is one that sticks out in my mind. And that very day, you guys were out raising funds for us. And I was talking to Randy, we were out raising. Oh, you know, that just hit my heart. Thank you so much. This morning, another encouraging check. And it's not about money, but it is about the connection and what we and the purpose that we have here on earth, and that gets me jacked up. So before we get into the word, I'm just going to give you a reminder of where we were last year. So if we could bring, is that up? Oh, can we bring the PowerPoint up? And we'll give a little reminder, a little review of where we were at last year. And then we're going to get into the word. Again, thanks for having me. We got it. The miracle. The beginning of last year, my brother and sister-in-law went all in to try to get a piece of land, and they put everything they had into it, but we needed to raise $27,000. And so I came up, and God started doing his thing. And by March, we had bought the land, and the miracle had commenced. And my brother and sister-in-law has since the beginning referred to this as the miracle. This is the children's home that we're building in Cuernavaca, Mexico, which is in between Mexico City and Acapulco, deep southwest Mexico, if you don't know where that's at yet. So the miracle began. Uh-oh. Wrong way. The miracle began. So we started constructing, and everything has to start below ground, and that's a piece of one that is one that was the last footing that was set in there of 16 footings. And so there's a picture of that, because this next picture doesn't look like much if you don't know what that is. There's 16 of those that make up that picture. And there's so much work, months and months of hard work that went in below ground. And so that's where we were at last year when I came here. Okay. Now we're going to get into the Word. And to give you a little context, we're going to go into Psalm 57 this morning. Psalm 57. And in Psalm 57, David is in hiding. He's hiding because his own country is looking, his own countrymen, his own warriors are looking for him. 3,000 of the chosen warriors of his own people are hunting him down, along with the king that he's staying faithful to is trying to kill him. And so in Psalm 57, David's writing, he's writing from that cave in that context, and it's to the chief musician, so it's for all to worship. And with that, would you stand with me if you can, and we'll read the first four verses. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 4. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you, and in the shadow of your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie among the sons of men who are set on fire, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we're here today and we have your word and we have your presence and we have your truth and we have your love and we have your salvation and we have your purpose in our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, we pray that you would use this time for your eternal glory. Touch our minds with your great wisdom. Touch our hearts with your awesome love and change us, mold us, and make us to be more like Jesus today, we pray. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to imagine for a moment the excitement of being 50 years old and never having a home, and then having one. Never had a home. My sister-in-law, Betty, had never had her own home. Grew up in an orphanage and then started pastoring right. Went to Bible school and started pastoring with my brother-in-law, Chayo, right out of Bible school. And then they went and they built one ministry for many, many years. Built the parsonage, built the church, and then God called them to Cuernavaca. And since then, they've been living in a borrowed house. And so my sister-in-law had given up. She thought, I'm never going to have a home here. And that's okay. But then God laid this vision on her heart to build a children's home. And now she's got a home. And imagine the excitement of that. But then imagine what would happen if one of your first nights there, you were hearing the machine gun fire just down the road. And then one of the other first nights, this happened. And this is where a car was burned down by the violent element that's all around that area. A car was burned down, and Betty thinks somebody was burned alive there. I don't have a doubt. But certainly, then there was a body that was thrown there. The next morning, I happened to be down there when this happened. That next morning, my courageous, and I don't know any more courageous women than Betty and my wife, Minnie. That was part of what attracted me to Minnie. She's very courageous. One time, Betty, we were robbed, and they took a bunch of stuff out of where Minnie and I were living, and they took my paperwork, and that was what I really needed the most, because that's a problem when my paperwork was stolen. Betty knew who stole it. They're violent people that stole it. She went right over to the door and said, "Hey, you can keep the stuff, but my brother-in-law needs his paperwork." And they told her where it was. We got it back. But that morning when I came to work on the orphanage, my sister-in-law was trembling and very shaken because of the violence that had happened. There was explosions. Each of the tires exploded, the car and the dogs barking in the neighborhood. And it was a horrible, horrible night for her and the family. And we know that we're in the midst of that there and everywhere, basically. I've had 10 years of that kind of thing. The verse after that, number 4, is the opposite. Verse 5 says, "Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be above all the earth." Amen? There is a violent element there. There's a reason why the walls are around that place and every other house on the block. And the second we started working there, we needed to have somebody living on site or the petty thieves would come in and take the stuff. And so we've had somebody on site. And then when I was down there, when we were building walls and laying blocks, my brother-in-law said a few times, "Brother, could you lay the blocks a little higher on the wall that surrounds us?" And I had been laying other blocks and getting other things done, and he mentioned it 3 or 4 times to me. And I said, "I'm going to do that before we go." "How high do you want me to build it? 100 feet?" I said. "You can't build a wall high enough." So we did that. So it'd be a little harder to get in there for petty thieves. There's a reason for the walls, but thieves and fear can steal more than they came from if you focus on that. I'm going for my doctorate and getting over my own fear. If you focus on fear, you'll never move. You will never move. When the cartel was doing their violent acts all around us, everything inside my flesh didn't want to move. I wanted to hide in a cave, and I wanted to come to Amory, Wisconsin, and go hide out where the Apple River, where I used to live, and I would have really loved to do everything in my flesh was, go do that, go do that, that's a good idea. Go home. What are you doing here? But I didn't focus on that. And our God, He wants to be followed, and He's so powerful, and He has an eternal purpose in the midst of all of these fears which now touch everybody. Like it or not, we must overcome. But don't let the enemy steal more than he came from. I've lost a few cameras and a computer and some other things, but they could have stolen so much more. Those violent acts around us could have stolen so much more. There's a saying. Well, whatever you concentrate on, see, if you concentrate on fear, that's just going to be overwhelming. But if we concentrate on God, then He will overwhelm us. He will overwhelm us with His purpose and power. But that's not easy. It's hard to practice what you're preaching sometimes. Oh, there's a saying in Mexico, the dog's barking, there's a thief. And then the other part is, the dog's not barking, somebody killed the dog. And we laugh because that's the way my mother-in-law, we know people like that, and my poor mother-in-law, she's on edge like that. When people can be, if you put your attention on that and your focus on that, there's no end to the fear. There's no end to what could happen. There's many people that have never been attacked, but they're worried about being attacked all the time. And they're living in that fear. Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs. And then we'll come right back. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Verse 13 says this. Proverbs 22:13. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. There's always a lion somewhere. If you're going to concentrate on the lions, you are never going to move. I'm staying at a friend's house. There's a bear that came to visit us the other day. He's eating this and eating that, and he's a big bear. Well, I've thought about him a couple times as I've gone out to the van at night. But he's not there. He was there. And sometimes we have to face the lion. Remember Benaniah? He's one of the David's mighty, valiant men. Benaniah had to go into the pit on a snowy day and kill a lion. Sometimes it's very necessary to face the giants, or else you just sit there in fear day after day after day after day. And we cannot afford it. We don't need to lose our time to the thief. Yes, he will win his battles, but he will not ultimately ever win. Amen? I'm thinking of my friend Gail. After today, I'm going to a funeral. My friend Gail died of the complications of the COVID virus. You know what your last thing she did? She made sure the curtains were made for the children's home. Now that's going out in style. That's going out with your hand to the plow. That's going out battling in the midst of what we know is dangerous. Yes, there are lions out there, but our purpose is so much greater. And what's happening is people are losing their lives because they're so scared to move that they won't do anything. And we can't do it. We've got to get up. We've got to battle in accordance to how God wants us to battle. And I'm not saying throw off your masks and give everybody a smooch. But I hope you understand what I am saying. We have a job to do, and we need to look for the avenue to do it. And, The cave doesn't work. Have you ever figured that out yet? It might work for a little bit, and there's times when you need to get in one. But the cave will, it doesn't work. God wants our total dependence. Let's go to one. This is one of the funniest passages of Scripture that I find in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verses 3 and 4. Now here we got a guy that's hiding from another guy. David is hiding. Who is he hiding? The guy hunting him. He's hiding from King Saul. And David is very sharp. Have you ever depended on how sharp you are? Your abilities, your talents, your strength. And David, he knows where the caves are. He knows the land. He knows everything about it like the back of his hand. And he picks a certain cave. And he said, we're going to hide in here. He'll never come in here. We'll never be found here. And guess who shows up one day? Let's read the scripture. So he, Saul, the dude he's hanging, trying to hide from, he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave. And Saul went in to attend to his needs. You can define that however you want. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. What cave? That cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. So, there's a lot of stuff that's funny about that to me. But where's the secret service? You got 3,000 chosen men with their king, and the king says, hey, guys, I got to go attend to my needs. I don't think he worded it that way, but I got to go attend to my needs. And nobody said, well, we'll check this out. The troops didn't just head right in there and check it all out. There goes the king. I'll see you in a few. And there David in there. And in walks the king. Can you imagine that moment? I mean, my little girl and I play hide and seek. You'd think David would be a little better at it, huh? We played hide and seek by video phone call the other day. I see you. You're hiding. You're in fear for your life. And in walks the very guy that hates your guts and wants to kill you. It's mind-boggling to me. That cave? Wow. Do you know what I think? David wrote this psalm. Shortly thereafter, I don't know that for a fact, but listen to this. Because we depend on so many things, and so many times it's, who do we depend on last? God. We try everything. We try everything to run away, to change the narrative. I believe he wrote this right after Saul came in. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in you. And in the shadow of your wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Our strength fails. Our wisdom fails. Look at the conventional wisdom. Look, David, kill the king. Now's your chance. And David says, no, that's not God's will. What God's will is that I depend on him. That's a very comforting thought for me, because there's a lot of times I'm just trying in my own strength. Thank you, Lord. Verse 6, they have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have dug a pit before me. Into the midst of it, they themselves have fallen. And that's what we see, and that's why we have to learn to move in the midst of the nets, because they themselves have fallen. I fell into the deepest pits of alcoholism, but then when I reached out, there were people there that would help me, because they were close enough to me to be able to extend a hand and help me out and clean me off. Thank you, God, for them, those people. I'm going to meet with them, one of them tomorrow. He was one of the first guys that said, I can help you out of there. Thank you, Reggie. I need a lot of help. I didn't know it, but I really need a lot. And sometimes God makes us cross right over the net. There's a net there, God. You see it. I know you see it. And he says, yeah, walk right across that puppy. That's a Gary. That wasn't God, but you know, he talks kind of like that sometimes to me. Yeah, you're going to go right there. Right there? Yep. I don't like that idea. Down when... We got the roof on in the end of January, and it just was an incredible effort to get that roof on. And we had a lot of other stuff going on, and so in March I thought, well, I'm gonna get down there. We got some friends down there. I'm gonna take a vacation, because I need a vacation. I need a little break from this. And then I got down there in March, and that was waiting for me instead of vacation. Look at this. I laugh at myself now, because the first few days I was trying to take a vacation and that pile of blocks was calling my name. I'm not down here to lay blocks. I didn't even bring very many tools, just a couple. But just in case, you know, just in case there's an emergency. Well, there was an emergency, because the coronavirus pretty much shut the whole country down and shut our summer ministries down. We couldn't do the camps, and we couldn't do our outreach, couldn't do food bags, couldn't do what we normally do. And so there I was and said, well, what are we going to do? And then all of a sudden God's got our crew working, and they need to work. They're making $100 or less a week. They need to feed their family. My brother-in-law is working, and then another group comes. One of the finest crews around was looking for work because of the coronavirus, and then I had to decide, hey, God seems to be wanting me to do something right now. I'll help lay some blocks for a couple days, I thought, and then after a couple days, one of the guys on the crew goes, you're our head block layer. I am. I am not. And then the guy is my brother-in-law. So then I had to decide. And then you guys sent money. People sent money. So then I had provision, and I had, you know, I'm putting it together with my math, and I'm going, we got provision, we got this crew that needs to work to feed their family, and we got this crew that happens to be one of the finest crews around, and they're looking to do work, and they're looking to give us a special price. And we got the money, and I happen to be there, and I can't go back. There's nothing to do really back there like I would normally be doing. I have never been gone that long, so I'm putting the math together, and I'm putting the equals, and then there's this net right there. Everybody, my brother-in-law, he's getting sick, you know, and we got this virus thing. He's got a fever, and he's hacking away, and he won't stay home. So I'm processing that out, and then I'm deciding, well, you can shut this whole thing down, or get stepping. Get across the net. There's a net there. I got the net. What if I die? Then I die making curtains for a children's home. Huh? That ain't bad. You guys would celebrate it. Huh? I hope so. That's really my only goal. Three months. Hey! This always happens with me. Well, oftentimes, not always, when I'm touching stuff that I... Anyway. Yeah, that was 3 months later we had something. It was incredible. The one crew, that was the ruffian crew, they were putting up forms and the beams and stuff, the cement beams and rebar. I'm laying blocks and staying in front of them while the finish crew comes behind us all. I mean, we were just going. It was cool. I've never seen anything quite like it. And then it's 14 guys. That isn't a lot of space for 14 guys to be working all on top of each other like that. And coughing away. And then the guy, my helper, my block tender, he got really sick. He stayed home a couple days and then he's back, you know. And this is a tough guy. You know, this guy what I was working with, he ain't staying home for nothing. So he stayed home. He's sick. Oh, great, he's sick. Did he come back with a mask? No. No. So I'm laying there. I'm laying. Anyway, yeah, there was some net crossing. There was some net crossing. All right, Josh. Well, I got to point it that way, don't I? So confusing. God is good. That's Chayo's island. It took me so much to talk him into building that island. Build this island and build it big. And we're not going to put Betty over there in the corner cooking. We're going to put her right in the middle of the kitchen, and everybody can come around. And then she can be facing everything. And so Chayo, he's like, all right. And then he was building it smaller. I said, build it bigger. You build it bigger. And so then he's building it. It took him 4 days to build it. Chayo's Island, 4 days. And I bring it up because Chayo can barely see. He's probably, I don't know what legally blind is, but he's probably there or real, has passed it. I watch him just checking his lines, and he's trying to check his lines. And the reason why I really needed to lay block was because he can't do it anymore. He can't see good enough to see the blocks. And he's the one who taught me how to do blocks. And he can do, back then, he could do them twice as fast as I ever could do them. And then he couldn't do them. And so I said, I'll do that for you. I can do it. Four days it took him to build that. Then he's feeling so bad because I'm laying blocks and he's not, and he's feeling bad. So then I'm going to lay some blocks, and it took him twice as long as me to lay a block wall. But he got her. Okay, we got to just keep doing what we can while we can. And one thing he says to me, and I think I probably preached it last year, he says, wishing doesn't exist. You can wish things was this or this way or that way, but wishing does not exist. We can either act or we can sit in the cave and do nothing, but wishing doesn't exist. Oh, but I wish it was this. I wish I could. Well, you might not be able to do that, but you can do something else if you look to do something else. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hey, I think I'm almost done. You wouldn't believe what it takes to teach this thing something. Again? Yeah, again. Hit it again. That was pretty good. But I've been doing this for years now. I should know, but anyway. The Miracle of Life, that's the name that my brother and sister-in-law decided on for the children's home. The Miracle of Life. And if you don't know our story, my wife and her two sisters grew up in a children's home. And they are the Miracle of Life. They gave their lives to Jesus, then they married us. My brothers-in-law are both pastors, and that's a miracle of life. BAP. Yeah. These two, we don't know for sure, but these two could be our first kids. What an opportunity. I bet each one of us can, I'm thinking of a little baby right now she's 11 days old today, and I would do anything to take her home with me. But I can't. I don't have the authority to do it. I would do anything. I learned that the other day. I didn't even know that about myself, but I saw that baby and I saw what situation she was in. And I have a little one right now that wasn't my plan that I've been taking care of for 3.5 years. I've been tired for 3 years. And I have, it's true. And then I saw that baby and that situation. I didn't know I wanted another baby that bad. Here, honey, I brought something home for you. You wanted a kitty. I bet each one of us can think of a situation that you'd like to act. I mean, I will be warring on my knees for that situation. But there's other ones where we have to step up and step out. And I saw something on the way here, and this is what I want in my life. I want to shine like a warrior. I want to be on my knees, yes, but I want to be able to act when God wants me to act. And when there's an opportunity, I want to step up and step out and attack. I get tired of taking shots. I told you that. I take a lot of shots from the enemy. All right, that one hurt. But now I'm going to get up. And I'm going to take some shots at you. And that's the mistake that so many of us make. We do not get up in advance when the opportunity presents itself. And that's what excites me about this, because I don't even know those kids yet, but I got them. If God wants me to protect them, ooh, we get the chance to do it with all our hearts. And that's what excites me about the check you got. Who wrote that this morning? Where are you, brother? On behalf of the East Lincoln. That's what fires me up, because that's where that's heading. We're going to be doing something about that. Ooh, that's good. Ain't that good? Yeah, I see so many things, and when my mind focuses on all the things I don't like and all the things that I can't do a lot about, I get very upset. But if my mind focuses on what I can do something about and what God is doing and how He leads me, then I can shine like a warrior. And that's what I want. What's that brother doing? What's he doing? Oh, let's... I think we're going to need to go up with the second floor pretty quick. I haven't talked to my board about it yet. But, hi, Randy. I think we're going to need to go up. And sometimes it's good to act and then apologize later. Everybody, now you can't hardly see that building from outside, but the higher she goes, and we have the potential to even go a third story higher, but the higher she goes, the more she's going to scream something different than what's happening around there. And already the neighbors have started to come out of their caves and wonder what's going on there. One neighbor brought a beautiful welcome decorative piece for the entrance. Oh, that was sweet. Another neighbor brought some fruit, and we don't even have any kids yet. But we're working there, and the goal is to, we will have the facility ready, thank you, God, by the end of this year. The idea is the inauguration will be around Thanksgiving. We think we like that idea, and we'll be ready, and we can use your prayers because there's a paperwork process that needs to be moved through. Everything's been a little more complicated with COVID and government shutting down and then opening up and shutting down. So, but we'll be ready, and we'll be ready for those kids. And I got the video, Josh. I got a 3-minute video. I'll give you a quick tour of the place. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. David was on his way to be king. As he was hiding in that cave, he would be king very soon. They would put a crown upon his head. How do you want to arrive to your crown? I like how Gail, my friend, arrived to the crown because she was making curtains for a children's home when God called her home. David arrived to the crown, beloved by the people and honorable. He never lifted a hand against that king. It's an awesome testimony. I want to arrive home like that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, you're good. You're so faithful. You're so patient. You're so kind to us. You're so merciful to us, God. Be merciful to us, God. We get scared. Sometimes we get confused. Oh, Lord, lift our eyes high. Get our eyes back upon you, Lord, and upon your purpose. Throughout all the fears and difficulties in our lives, through this COVID situation, through each individual situation that we're facing, Lord God, and corporately, Lord God, help us to advance your kingdom for your glory. Help us to shine like warriors, Lord, for your glory in your awesome army. Thank you, Jesus, for that great privilege. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for who you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.